This is the KHMB Radio Magazine. Community news, information, features, and entertainment. The KHMB Radio Magazine is brought to you by
Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees and fresh baked goods.
And by Cameron's Restaurant, Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's, your home away from home.
And by Kibbles and Gifts, your one stop for pet supplies on the coastside.
And by Shepherd Family Dentistry. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
Robotics. That's the topic of this week's Feature of the Week. I'm Cindy Menzel, and today we are talking with Jen Dill. Hi, Jen. Welcome.
Hi. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. So we, some of you may know that we have a high school robotics team, and in its first time, 2022, mm-hmm. its first year, it went to the World Championship. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, it was very exciting and unexpected, really. Our first year, our rookie year, we got to go all the way to the World Championships through FIRST Robotics in Houston, and we got to compete with teams from all over the world. There were teams from Australia and Japan and Turkey and Israel, and our students got to interact and compete, and it'll be something none of us will ever forget.
And it sounded like those teams had 40 people on a team, and ours had, 9 or 10 people per team?
Yes, we are tiny. Right now, our team has 8 students, and most average teams have around 40. Some will have 90. So our kids get to learn how to do everything.
That's what I hear. And so, and we talk about this world championship. And if, as I understand it, it's like a brawl. You build the robot from scratch, and you have to go in and basically, you play rock'em, smock'em robots or whatever. What does that look like?
So what happens is the first Saturday of January, they release a new game. And they're not battle bots per se, but they do have to compete and complete tasks. And so every year that game changes. So you have to start from scratch, and you get the game released. It was released at the same time all over the world. All the teams start. And we have about 10 weeks in order for us to design and prototype and implement and fabricate a robot and then go compete.
And our kids do it all, from the mechanics to the electronics to everything, right?
Yep. Software programming. We teach them how to do that all. And we really pride ourselves in having a student-led team where we go by their ideas and what it is they want to do, which gives them a lot of control over what they're doing.
And if you haven't seen it, you can see them usually at the July 4th parade, where they'll have their little robot throwing a ball and having to kids, and it's just wonderful to see. So anyone who wants to get involved with this can, and you've got this great high school program going. And if you want to know more, by the way, they are at hmbrobotics.org. But you are also you help them get going. You find mentors, both adults and students. So tell us what you do with the robotics club here.
So my son wanted, when he entered high school, then there was COVID, so we didn't start the team until his junior year. But he wanted a robotics team, so my husband and I and a couple of other parents got together, and we started one. And I saw what an incredible program this was. It really changed my kid's life. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to expand that, because I got to see, by the time kids get into high school, they already have kind of a preconceived notion of whether or not they're able to go into STEM or not. And either it's too nerdy, or they're not smart enough, or, you know, that kind of thing. And so we started the middle school robotics team this year. I was with the help of Jill Jacobson from the Boys and Girls Club. We're underneath them.
Excellent.
And we were able to put together a team for middle schoolers. And we have parents who are volunteers. We have former students who are volunteers. We have, you know, 20-somethings who are volunteers. That's the one thing the Coast Side does very well.
They do.
Is supporting, whereas most of the teams I talk to over the hill, they have a really hard time getting volunteers. I have so many people who want to help us with this.
And that's so exciting. So let's go back and do one thing first. You talk about STEM. Tell us what STEM stands for. And what it means.
Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Okay. STEM is, so it's about science and technology. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first STEM program on the Coast Side?
Yeah. I won't say it's the first. There's been little one-offs like summer camps and things like that. But my goal with Half Moon Bay Robotics is to have something that's robust like Pop Warner football or for the high school or Coast Side basketball, right? Where kids and students can have it. If the coach goes away, another coach comes in and takes over. So this is something that's going to be longstanding and rooted in our community.
That's just amazing. And congratulations and kudos for doing that.
Oh, thank you.
So you've got the high school going pretty well and you've got people there. So you said you're going to be starting a group at the middle school. So tell us what you're needing for that, who's involved, and what would the students need to know and be able to do.
So we did start a middle school team this last fall. So September was when that team came together, and we are using that as kind of a feeder into the high school. They compete in a similar format. Their robot's much smaller, but for all intents and purposes, they do the same thing. So they're designing, they're programming, they're doing, they're learning to do the work themselves. And so any middle schooler can join. Doesn't matter which school you go to, both for the high school and the middle school, because we're a community team through the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
Our mentors, they help with all kinds of stuff, learning software. I am not technical at all. I'm good at finding good people.
Are you sure?
I'm good at speaking, but I'm good at finding people who are good at these things. And so we've got some amazing software mentors and hardware mentors, and then mentors who are also helping the students with our marketing. It's like each of these teams is like a startup. It's like a small business. We have to fundraise. We have to market ourselves. It's an incredible experience for our students.
So if someone wants to become a mentor, this is going to be the adult who is working with either the mid-school or the high school robotics team. They should contact you through hmbrobotics.org.
Sure.
Correct?
Sure.
But what, so I'm interested in this and I want to connect with you. What are you going to need to know from people who are interested in being mentors?
I think just right now, what their experience is, what their time commitment is. This is a pretty time right now, especially with the high school team. We're in season, so it's quite a bit of time. But if you're interested, I'm always happy to talk shop and see if this is a good fit. We are really lucky because we do have quite a few folks who are helping us out, and we couldn't do it. It's not a one-person show. You know, we need a whole team of folks to make this happen.
It takes a village.
It certainly does.
Or it takes the Coast Side. So how do you get the funding for this? I mean, and where do you meet? And I will know that you've gotten some grants from some of the local nonprofits. But so I presume it's through grants and other fundraising activities. So talk to us about what you need for funds.
Yeah.
And how you get your funds.
Right. So that's the million-dollar question. I always joke that robotics is akin to baseball in that there's a wide range of budgets, we'll say. There's some teams over the hill that we compete against who are the Yankees, and we are closer to the A's in that. So if my baseball people will get that analogy. But a lot of our funding, fortunately, and we're so grateful, it has come from local sponsors here. Like this year, we got some generous support from the AAUW, from the Friends of the Library, and the Odd Fellows have supported us in the past. The Lions Club have supported us in the past. We also get some of our bigger grants from companies over the hill, Johnson & Johnson and Apple and Intuitive and some other Qualcomm, other grants that are associated with FIRST, which is the organization that we compete in. So it's nice that we get to dissipate where that money comes in, right? So that it's not all dependent on co-side funding, but that we also get co-side funding, but that there are bigger companies that can give us a bigger paycheck. So for our high school team, the budget, I would say this year is probably going to be around $30,000, which is, and we are, the majority of our mentors are all volunteers. So that's not going to personnel. Although I think at some point it would be nice to have somebody paid. We pay the football coach, right? We should.
True that.
So, right. So I want to be able to, at some point, that's the dream. And our middle school team, that one is probably closer to $5,000 or $6,000. So it's a much easier entry point, but we'll help them funnel into the high school, which is a bigger deal.
That sounds phenomenal. So anything else you'd like to add or that we should know and understand about this amazing opportunity for robotics, not only from the student perspective, but if you want to get involved as an adult?
I think the thing that I want folks to know is, A, that we exist, and we're relatively new, but we are excited to offer this opportunity to our students. It genuinely gives them an amazing experience that will prepare them for whatever is next for them, whether it be college, whether it be the trades, whether anything that they do next, they will draw from the experience that they've had in this club.
That's excellent. Thank you, Jen Dill, for coming and spending the time and having with us on this feature of the week. Again, the robotics website address is hmbrobotics.org. I'm Cindy Menzel.
Our thanks to KHMB contributor Cindy Menzel for our feature story of the week. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson. Had a boss who once told me, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. Well, just in case you don't remember what was happening in 1962 on the coastside, the nation and the world, Cameron Palmer, host of the KHNB Time Machine, takes us back to that year. This is Timeless Radio for the San Mateo County Coastside, 100.9 KHNB Radio.
You've been listening to the KHNB Feature Story of the Week. Know someone who deserves to be recognized in the community? Call us today at 453-4000 or email us news@khmbradio.com.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the coastside.
Wildfires, habitat restoration, climate resilience, these are some of the most urgent challenges facing our community and our planet. This is Bob Rogers, Executive Director of Coastside Land Trust. Join the Coastside Land Trust on Saturday, March 22nd for our free community webinar with Timothy Federal from the San Mateo Resource Conservation District. He'll explore the pressing issues of wildfire management and habitat restoration on the coastside. We will discuss how fire practices have evolved in our region, the role of seasonality in local ecosystems, and how our fire strategies compare to those in other areas. Whether you're a longtime resident or new to the area, this webinar will give you valuable insights into the future of our environment and the work ahead to build a more resilient, sustainable coastside. Mark your calendars for Saturday, March 22nd at 10 a.m. and hop onto our website to register and learn more at coastsidelandtrust.org.
Time keeps on slipping into the future.
And now, the AM 1710 Time Machine with host Cameron Palmer.
1962. What is going on in the sleepy town of Half Moon Bay in the early 60s? Well, checking the archives of the Half Moon Bay Review, Time Machine local news, prison parolee nabbed on beach, faces car theft. A 19-year-old parolee was arrested by Half Moon Bay Police and was booked for auto theft. Recently released from Soledad State Prison, the parolee was caught on the beach and was in possession of a Thunderbird car reported stolen by Oakland Auto Dealership. Heart expert talks to local service group. Facts, Fears, and Fables was a topic of a presentation by Dr. Charles Gutas to a local chapter of the United Voluntary Services, an informal questions and answer session follow the presentation. And the El Granada Women's Club is planning an Easter egg hunt. The group will sponsor the event, and the committee members will meet on March 7th at 8 p.m. to further discuss these details. And now for a little history in the making from my pub, Cameron's Pub in Half Moon Bay. Lots of celebrations happen at Cameron's Pub, and recently one was especially meaningful. Our longtime employee, Joey, who many of you know is friendly, hardworking person, great busser for us, does the dishes. He's just been with us for a long time. He always has a smile on his face. Well, he just celebrated his 50th birthday at the pub. He was so proud, turning 50, and told many who came in that it was coming up. It happens that Joey and I share the same birthday, and I'm glad for this since I usually prefer to downplay mine. Our family history with Joey goes way back when he was a toddler, and my English grand looked after him while my mom and his mom were in Bible study at the First Baptist Church. We attend many services with Joey and sing the traditional old hymns, which Joey loves. The church closed now, and we're all at Mariners Church now, and we get real excited when the old hymns are on. Joey and several others started what they call the Hymster Club, for those who appreciate the hymns. It's an easy club with no meetings, no dues, no bylaws. Just come enjoy when the old hymns show up. Joey is the longest employee and began busing at our restaurant at the very early age of 1993 when we opened. He was 18 years old, so he has 32 years seniority. Thank you to all the wonderful, faithful employees that I have at my restaurant. Celia comes in second with 29 years. She's been in our kitchen helping us. We've had some great memories. I learned from years at Tilly's Little Frankfurt Moss Beach restaurant, business can be character building. If you take the heat, you can do it. Keep calm and come on in. 1962, the Cold War continues to worsen as Russians place ballistic missiles in Cuba, just 90 miles from the coast of Florida. John Kennedy calls their bluff by threatening war. The Russians stand down. JFK sets a goal of launching a man on the moon before the 60s are over. The United States begins to get involved in training the South Vietnamese in their conflict with North Vietnam. Marilyn Monroe is found dead after allegedly overdosing on sleeping pills. And Sam Walton opens a discount store called Walmart in Arkansas. What is the cost of living like? Buy a new house for $12,500 or perhaps a new car for $3,000. Don't forget the gas for your buggy. 28 cents a gallon. In popular culture, Johnny Carson becomes the host of The Tonight Show. Top movies are West Side Story, Lawrence of Arabia, and To Kill a Mockingbird. 1962 was an interesting year for Top 40. It's a blend of rock, folk music, instrumentals, country, and R&B. This singer was first discovered by songwriter Carole King, who would later become a success by singing the songs she was writing. Here's Little Eva and the solid gold hit, The Locomotion.
So
Born in Montgomery, Alabama, this artist was not known as a rock and roll singer, but this gold hit shared the top 40 charts in 1962. Here's Nat King Cole with Ramblin' Rose.
Ramblin' Rose.
Join me again next time for a journey to another year in the KHMB Time Machine. I'm Cameron Palmer. Thanks for listening.
Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the Coastside.
Kevin Palmer of Premier Termite and Pest Control reflects on getting into the business.
Well, termites are a way of life here in Half Moon Bay. Somebody has to deal with these things. I figured I'm going to be that guy. So I looked into the whole termite business and I said, you know what? I could do this. And that's when we developed Premier Termite. And it's a company that basically controls termites, gets rid of termites, and repairs the damage that termites have done. And if you think you're termite immune, well, you're wrong. Everybody's going to get them at some point in time in your life. And there's only two types of homes in this coast here. Ones that have termites and ones are going to get them.
To schedule a termite and pest inspection, phone 726-7756 or visit premiertermiteinc.com.
If I could talk to the animal.
It's time for Pet Patrol, everything that pertains to our pets and animals. Pet Patrol is brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the Coastside. Visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com. And now, your host for Pet Patrol, Krista Livingston.
I want to share two sweet stories of dogs being heroes. The first is about a pit bull named Simba. He is a perfect example of why you should never judge a book by its cover. Simba lives with his owner, Arjunet Mahana, in an apartment building in Sweden. Despite how Simba has always been a sweet pup, the neighbors in their building have negatively judged him for being a pit bull. One elderly woman, who lived on the floor below Mahana and Simba, always took particular care to avoid the pup and shun his advances. He always tried to greet her, but she called him mean and looked at him with fear, Mahana said. She never liked him because he was a quote-unquote bad breed. Her attitude changed, however, after Simba saved her life. Mahana and Simba had recently been returning to their apartment from a walk when the pup started suddenly barking and pawing at the elderly woman's door, and he refused to leave. As Mahana pulled on Simba's leash in bewilderment, he heard a faint voice calling for help from inside. The elderly neighbor had fallen and broken her hip. For 2 days she had been stuck on the floor without any way of calling for help. Mahana then called medical services and waited with her until an ambulance arrived, and she was sure to thank her rescuers for their intervention. She said, "Thank you for hearing me." I thought she was talking to me at first, Mahana recalled, but then she said, "No, not you, the nice doggy." Suffice it to say, the woman has had a change of heart towards her new canine friend. Mahana also now hopes that Simba's story will help other people to reconsider their views on pit bulls as well. A stray dog is being hailed as a hero after she was found protecting a litter of 5-week-old kittens from frigid Canadian temperatures. A passing motorist in Ontario spotted Serenity the dog curled up on the side of the road. Upon stopping to check on the pup, the Good Samaritan found that Serenity was curled up around 5 newborn kittens. It is quite possible that if Serenity had not safeguarded the kittens until the driver stopped, they would have remained hidden on the side of the road. And with daytime temperatures in the city averaging around 42 degrees, the cold could have proved to be fatal. After the Good Samaritan called the Pet and Wildlife Rescue, the pup and her kittens were whisked away for evaluation and deemed to be in good health. The kittens are now staying with the foster family until they are old enough to be adopted. Since the Pet and Wildlife Rescue posted Serenity's story on social media, many users have begged the organization to adopt out the pup and the kittens as a group package. The rescuers later made a follow-up post about how they try and get canines out of a cage shelter environment and into their forever homes as soon as possible. And the kittens still require months of growth until they are ready to be adopted. Regardless, Serenity's story has already won the hearts of dozens of potential adopters, and once she is properly spayed, she will be ready to head to her forever home. I hope all of you and your furry friends have a wonderful holiday season. Until next week, this is Krista Livingston with Kibbles and Gifts.
If I could talk to the animals.
Pet Patrol is a regular feature of KHNB Radio. If you have an animal-related announcement, just call us at 453-4000 or email us pets@khmbradio.com. Pet Patrol has been brought to you by Kibbles and Gifts, located in the Strawflower Shopping Center next to Safeway. Kibbles and Gifts is your one-stop shop for pet supplies and gifts on the coastside. Phone them at 726-3700 or visit them online, kibblesandgifts.com.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the coastside.
Hello, this is Frank Vento, your hometown realtor. The real estate market is poised to launch into the spring selling season. What does that mean for buyers and sellers? For buyers, it means more homes to choose from. For sellers, it means a little bit more competition. I anticipate that there will not be an overabundance of homes for sale. Buyer demand is still strong. It will remain a seller's market for the foreseeable future. Do you have real estate questions? You can call me, Frank Vento, at 650-888-9900. That's 650-888-9900. Or online at frankvento.com. That's Frank, V-E-N-T-O.com, your hometown realtor.
BRE license number 01321362.
This is Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show featuring guest hosts speaking on a variety of health-related issues. Keeping Pace with Your Health is brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. And now, this week's guest host.
Hello, this is Dr. Barry Canty, D.C., your host for Keeping Pace with Your Health.
Today we're talking about the quality of healthcare in the United States. If you stop someone on the street and ask them about healthcare quality here, you'd likely hear something along the lines of best in the world. But is that really the case? I have some statistics that you may find shocking. The United States has approximately 5% of the world's population. So for every 100 people alive on planet Earth, only 5 are from the United States. We have the top-ranked medical school in the world, along with 158 other medical schools, which is the most for a single country. We are near the top in number of hospitals, along with the number of doctors, right here in the United States. We take 60% of the entire world's prescription medications and nearly 80% of the world's pain medications. So for perspective, every drug produced in the world, 60 to 80 out of 100 of those drugs are consumed by only 5 out of 100 people. Think of those numbers for just a minute, and it's easy to see how someone could believe we do have the best quality of healthcare right here in the United States. But hold on, there's even more. We have medicine as entertainment, too. Starting with the very first medical drama, City Hospital, which aired in 1951, followed by numerous others. You may remember the shows Ben Casey, Dr. Kildare, General Hospital, which is the longest-running soap opera in production, Marcus Welby, M.D., Grey's Anatomy, and The Good Doctor, a program which tries to put a positive spin on the autism epidemic, to name a few. But the full list of all medical TV-related shows going back to the very first one, City Hospital, is quite long. In fact, I bet you'll be surprised to the actual number. It is 137. That's right, there have been 137 TV shows about doctors and hospitals. And that's just the fictitious drama programs. If you add medical documentaries, the number is staggering. Now let's add the endless stream of drug ads we are subjected to here in the United States on TV, radio, and print ads, which promise a cure for every disease we have ever thought of, and some we weren't even aware existed. And it's easy to see how someone could believe we do have the best healthcare in the world. But do we? More on this after this break.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Brian Shepherd from Shepherd Family Dentistry. Did you know that over 25% of America suffers from obstructive sleep apnea? They're suffocating in their sleep. I started treating my own sleep apnea about a month before I met my wife. I wear a mouthpiece that stops my snoring and keeps me breathing all through the night. Now, if I go to bed without my mouthpiece, she kicks me out of bed. So if you want to stop snoring and keep breathing, come on down to Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street. Phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Where we bring your smile to life.
Welcome back. Today we're talking about the quality of healthcare in the United States. I've already pointed out that currently we have more doctors, hospitals, media programming, and commercials for drugs and drug uptake than any country in the world's history. Yay for us, right? Well, maybe not. We rank 40th in the world in health and wellness. And if you take the top 11 wealthiest countries, we rank dead last in healthcare quality. Yet we spend more for healthcare per individual in the United States than any other country in the world. We rank near the top in cancer rates worldwide, and our life expectancy is now 59th according to the World Bank. That's right behind Algeria, which spends less than 1/30th per capita of what we spend on healthcare. The United States ranks 50th in infant mortality. Okay, let's stop and let that sink in. Cuba has lower infant mortality than the United States. And according to World Factbook, the Gaza Strip has lower maternal mortality than the United States. We lead the world in obesity and chronic disease. In the early 1980s, the rate of chronic disease in the United States was less than 12%. Now it is close to 60%. Unfortunately, our children are bearing the largest burden, with 54% of children now having at least one chronic disease. You may remember from a prior show that 80% of young people in the United States ages 18 to 24 are not fit for military service. In an upcoming show, I'll break this down even further, but let me leave you with this final thought. Once again, currently we have more doctors, hospitals, media programming, and commercials for drugs and drug uptake than any country in the world's history. If this model was working, shouldn't we be the healthiest society to have ever lived? Again, more on this later. Until then, this is Dr. Barry Canty, D.C. Stay healthy, Half Moon Bay.
This has been Keeping Pace with Your Health, a weekly show devoted to important health topics. Keeping Pace with Your Health has been brought to you by Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street, Half Moon Bay. Shepherd Family Dentistry, where they bring your smile to life.
You're listening to Radio Magazine, locally produced shows by your friends and neighbors of the coastside.
On the carousel. On the carousel.
Coastside Carousel. The show devoted to spotlighting the groups and artists that make up our local musical entertainment community.
Coastside Carousel is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Cameron's. Good food and good times for the entire family.
Hi, this is Jay Michaels, in for Mike Dale for this week's Carousel, a tribute show to Roberta Flack. Roberta Cleopatra Flack, born February 10th, 1937, an American singer who topped Billboard charts with number one songs, including The First Time I Ever Saw Your Face, Killing Me Softly, and Feel Like Making Love. Roberta Flack, this week's tribute on Coastside Carousel.
You know, I don't listen to music.
Why not?
I make it.
The first time ever I saw your face.
And it was this song 51 years ago in Clint Eastwood's movie Play Misty for Me that set it all in motion.
The first time ever I saw. Face.
It was 1984.
Thank Clint, my feeling is number one, you know, we're friends.
I have been asked if I would do duets with Stevie. My answer is always I would. I think what you have to be very careful of today in 84, since duets are, you know, that's the state of the art. You have to be very careful about becoming involved in what is now
the trend.
The trend.
By then, she'd already won 4 Grammys, making history as the first artist to win Record of the Year 2 times in a row.
I'd like to thank the world.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life. His words killing me softly with his song.
start my musical recording with Donny Hathaway.
You don't understand something. I believe that everyone that in my neighborhood, everybody I grew up with, had at least three of your albums if you didn't have them in your collection and you were sleeping.
The closer.
See, when Johnny and I did duets together, that happened quite accidentally.
But what's no accident is her talent. She played her first piano at age 9 and then became one of the youngest students to attend Howard University on a music scholarship at just 15 years old.
My first goal was to be a concert pianist. Then I taught school for a while, and then I worked in an opera restaurant, and then I moved on down the line and finally decided to take a job singing in a cabaret.
The Cabaret led to 20 studio albums, 3 number one hits, a Lifetime Achievement Grammy, and an induction into the Women Songwriters Hall of Fame.
I'd like to think that it is the song and not me, and that I am just the lucky bearer of those tidings. Love is a song.
She left her fingerprint on generations of artists.
Drumming my pain with his finger. Singing my life with his words. Killing me softly with his song.
The Fugees took on Killing Me Softly in 96, flipping the track and making it the highest selling single that year in more than 20 countries. Today, it remains one of the biggest hip hop songs of all time.
Get out of here.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall, all you have to do is call, and I'll be there. You got a friend.
I'm honest and sincere and reliable and confident and ambitious and generous and an animal lover and a children lover and a people lover and a world lover, and I can sing.
Strolling in the park, watching winter turn to spring.
Roberta Flack, singer, songwriter, and performer for over 50 years. Born February 10th, 1937. Passed away February 24th, 2025, at 88 years old. For Mike Dale, this is Jay Michaels for Coastside Carousel.
You've been listening to Coastside Carousel, featuring the music and artists of our local entertainment community. For suggestions and comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us carousel@khmbradio.com.
Coastside Carousel has been brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Inn. Visit Cameron's at cameronsinn.com.
You have been listening to the Radio Magazine, heard daily on KHMB. If you have suggestions or comments for the show, call us at 453-4000 or email us magazine@khmbradio.com.
This is David Barton with another moment from America's history. Today's revisionist historians claim that George Washington was a deist, yet this completely contradicts historical fact. George Washington's religious habits were commended by numerous eyewitnesses. In fact, so well was his faith documented that monuments both at Valley Forge and at the U.S. Capitol memorialize him kneeling in prayer. Perhaps those who have come to believe that George Washington was a deist should remember the words of his adopted daughter, who declared, "I should have thought it the greatest heresy to doubt his firm belief in Christianity. His life, his writings prove that he was a Christian. Is it necessary that anyone should certify his belief in Christianity? As well may we question his patriotism." We can't question the patriotism of George Washington, nor can we question the fact that he was a Christian.
For more information on God's hand in American history, contact Wall Builders at 1-800-8-REBUILD.